This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this radio show we do every Monday, same time, about 12, about noon. How are you doing? How's your summer, spring going? We thought we were going to have better weather by this time, but, well, it's a raining day again, so stay dry, stay safe at home. You have plenty of homework, you know. I always send you a bit of homework every week, so you have plenty of things to do, plenty of things to improve. If you can go outside and do exercise because the weather is too bad, there is always something to do at home. You can be active, even though you can go outside. So it's not excuses, okay? Not excuses. As every day, I'm going to share this presentation with you, and I'm going to introduce probably a tricky topic to you today. It's this millions, trillions of organisms that live without us. We call microbiome. We have microbiome, or we have all these microorganisms living in any part of your body, any part you can think of. You have these organisms living with you. Theoretically, they are there because they help you. We'll see what happens sometimes, but the main goal they have is to help you, to improve the how the organs work, basically. But it's true that it's something more or less new, and we are probably halfway to understand what they really do and why they are there. What we already know is that we can't live without them. So they are so important that now we know that they are essential for our life. They are part of a lot of mechanisms we need to survive. So it's our mission to help them to grow and to grow in a healthy way, which is not always easy in the lifestyle normally we have. But as you can read here, if you are watching this on TV, they are a key part of the immune system. We talked about a lot about the immune system last week. It's a key part as well to regulate your mood. There is always a connection between gut and brain. We call the gut-brain axis. They are always talking to each other. And these bacteria, well, these organisms, because there are apart from bacteria, we have more things there. They are always sending signals to the brain regarding how the guts are, for example. The same with the skin. Plenty of bacteria, plenty of organisms living on the skin, and the same. They are creating, producing, releasing particles or molecules that will bring or will send a signal to the brain just to activate the immune system, to slow down the immune system, to bring cells there to fight against something if there is an infection or inflammation. So there are a lot of connections all the time. This is why I believe that it's impossible to see the body as a union of parts. It's not a union of parts. It's just a whole organism working together, sending signals to one part to the other. So again, we're gonna briefly talk about these microorganisms. We're gonna talk about the functions they have. How can we take care of them, and things that we shouldn't do to have a healthy microbiome. It's normally the one that we normally talk about is the one we have in the guts, because it's probably the biggest one in the organ in the body. So, as I told you before, these trillions of organisms are more than just bacteria, okay? And they have plenty of roles in the body. One of them is they are a key part of producing, releasing vitamins. So even though we need to take vitamins from the diet, if your gut bacteria, your gut microbiome is not healthy, there are a couple of reactions we need to, or they need to do in the guts. If they are not healthy, you are not gonna absorb or get all these vitamins you are trying to eat, no, from the food. So super important that we have a healthy gut microbiome to absorb all these vitamins. Similar problem with the immune system, as I told you before. There are like a huge barrier, you have plenty of layers in the guts, and the external part, the part that is more in connection with the food, is basically a layer with plenty of microorganisms. If you don't have this healthy layer of microorganisms, anything that is in contact with an inner layer of the gut can affect or can inflame or alter the structure of your gut. So super important, again, have a healthy microbiome, because otherwise you're going to have always a low-grade chronic inflammation in the gut, and this inflammation will send a signal to the brain that something is going on. We need to activate the immune system because we are a kind of in danger. Okay. And another role we have more, but we're going to focus on these three basically. Another role of the gut microbiome is a mood regulator, because microbiome produces over 90% of something called serotonin. That probably you have heard a little bit of serotonin, but it's the hormone of happiness and being calm. So we know now that all this serotonin produced by the microbiome in the gut is not going to go to the brain. It's not that the brain needs this serotonin to feel happy. This serotonin is essential in organs that are closer to the gut, but not the brain. The brain will produce its own serotonin. But for the rest of the body, for the rest of the organs, this serotonin is essential to feel calm and relaxed and happy. So if this microbiome is unhealthy, is not in balance, is damaged, you won't get this 90% of the serotonin in your body. So it's difficult to explain. It's not that your gut or your liver is not going to be happy, but we need this serotonin to smooth, to make easier all these reactions we have taking part in our body. So imagine that suddenly one night all these bacteria decided to leave your body. They just say, I'm gonna move because this person is not taking care of me. The following day you will wake up really, really, really sick. Really, really sick. I'm pretty sure that it's impossible, now that we know what they do, that it's impossible to live without the help of these trillions of microorganisms. And it's only bacteria, because I told you before that it is more than just bacteria. So it's not only bacteria, but it's true that bacteria are the largest group. And this is tricky, because when we study, or if you go to the doctor, sometimes we have to treat infections. And this infection is provoked by a bacteria. And it's true, we have antibiotics, and they are a really good tool we use to fight when a bacteria is growing too much and we have an infection. Could be a skin infection, a chest infection, urinary infection, whatever infection. But this doesn't mean that the bacteria is bad just because it's growing. Normally the problem is the balance. As anything in the body, balance is paramount. So if there is not a balance between bacteria, one will start growing and will grow more than usual, because the environment probably is perfect for this. So it will grow and will grow. And when it grows too much is when we have an infection. If you are sick, it's probably is the perfect moment for a bacteria to grow because the immune system is dealing with a lot of things. But I don't want you to have the idea or the concept that bacteria are bad. Because normally we treat bacteria when you go to the doctor or you need an antibiotics to treat a bacteria, okay, a bacterial infection. But these bacteria I'm talking about are really good. Okay? They are really good. They are part of this barriers, part of this creating vitamins, immune system, producing serotonin, another neurotransmitter. So bacteria are good. But again, this ecosystem we have, this microbiome is not just bacteria, even though the largest group is made with bacteria. We have also viruses. We have something called fungi and a different type of microorganism called archaea. Okay. They are essential, the archaea, you will see, because they release something that is super important for the brain. Okay. It's just we call short chain fatty acid, something that these archaea releases when they have good food in the gut, and they bring these short chain fatty acids to the brain, and they have a lot of effects in the brain, a lot of effects. But basically what they are trying to do is control the inflammation, if there is any inflammation in the body, and it reduces the cardiovascular risk. So imagine how many things are connected at the same time. And just because you have low or high level of these microorganisms in the body. Good level of archaea means less inflammation. Less inflammation means probably a healthier immune system and a lower cardiovascular risk. So imagine that your gut, let's kind of talk basically about the guts, because as I told you before, we have microbiome in any part of the body, but probably the gut microbiome is the most important one. Imagine that your gut is like a big, busy city, and we need a lot of things working well, because if something works wrong, it's going to affect the whole cycle, no? The whole city. So we have bacteria helping with the digestion of fiber. We have kind of bacteria that are basically waiting for this fiber to produce molecules, particles essential for the guts and for the rest of the body. We have another group that are just waiting for food to produce vitamins. Another ones that are key for the immune protection, which normally called like the police. We have just bacteria helping us or to fight against the bacteria that we know that could be harmful. Okay, you remember that we talk about infections. So yeah, we know that there are bacteria which are not the best for our gut or for any part of the body. So we have bacteria that fight against the other bacteria to keep the balance. Some of them are producing chemical products, chemical things that will go to any part of the body. And again, they send signals to the brain and they tell our brain how the body is in general. It's like this constant connection that there is a problem here, so please bring more cells to this part of the body because we are having a problem here. Or everything is settled, everything is okay, no worries, we can just shut off, sleep and disconnect. So imagine how important they are. And they work 24 hours a day, day and night, digesting fiber, producing vitamins, training the immune system, keeping invaders out. So all the time. And what happens if they are not in a good balance, that the body suffers. the body suffers. So any disease, any condition that you can think of are connected with this gut microbiome. Anything, mental health issues, cardiovascular problems, things like neurological conditions, anything like this is linked and connect with the microbiome. And it's because this, I'm going to repeat this again, but because I think it's really, really, really important. Really, really important that the guts talk with the brain constantly, constantly. I know that it seems sometimes a bit crazy, but it's true that they are always connected. And years and years ago, when doctors decided that it was easier to have a specialist if in any part of the body, so you know you have the cardiologist for the heart, you have the neurologist for the brain, have the orthopedic for the bones, you have things like GPs that are more like a holistic view. But when we decided that each part of the body was so complicated that we needed a specialist on this, we forgot a little bit about this, that everything is connected. So it's impossible now to treat somebody with the information we have, to treat somebody with a mental health issue, to treat somebody with anxiety, with depression, with schizophrenia or PTSD or ADHD, whatever you want, it's impossible to treat somebody with this without asking about their guts, without checking how their guts are. If they are healthy, they are unhealthy, if the diet is good, if the microbiome is healthy. So fortunately, we see more and more and more, in this case, psychiatrists, with this idea, with this open mind, and they ask and they check that apart from the specific problem they have, they are checking the microbiome or the gut microbiome in this case. Okay. Again, because 90% of the serotonin, which is essential, is released by the gut, which is crazy if you think about this. And if the gut lining, if the layers are not healthy, we're going to lose all this protection. So what happens in your digestive system if they are not there? If they are not there, that we have problems that are affecting other parts of body, which is normally the base or the root of these mental health issues. So mood and anxiety is against, for example, anxiety, it happens against, is a reaction against something. Normally a fear, a bad experience in life, something that is making you feel unwell. This, it's better tolerated by the body, or it's easier to treat, easier to heal if you have a healthy gut microbiome. Again, because they are going to release a lot of substances that will go to any part of the body. And if your gut is okay, the signal is going to be everything is okay, no worries, no danger, calm down. And the anxiety, even though it's more complex than this, but the fact that somebody's anxious with a lot of pressure, it will improve. The same as with the stress and sleep. When somebody's chronically stressed, or when somebody can't sleep for a long period of time, there is something called cortisol that goes really high, and this cortisol will change the gut microbiome. And when we change the gut microbiome, you know now that we will have problems. So in this case, the stress is going to affect the gut microbiome. If the gut microbiome is unwell, the body is going to get more stress, and it's a cycle. Okay? Obviously, if something is make us feel really stressful, probably the idea would be to change this a scenario, no, to change the fact that it is something that make you feel really unwell. But if it's not possible, because life is sometimes is complicated, at least try to have a really healthy gut microbiome. I will tell you how to do it, but you don't want two problems at the same time, because the cortisol, the stress is going to damage your microbiome. How many times have you felt stressed or anxious, and instead of having maybe palpitations or headache, what you feel is that your guts are moving, maybe diarrhea, or you feel that you can't eat? It's because they are connected. And if you are stressed, it's not the moment to eat. If it's not the moment to eat, we are in a, like in alert mode in the guts, and this will change the balance, and it will change the, essentially the composition of the microbiome. A lot of people, very common consultation is brain fog and fatigue and tiredness. And you can't imagine how many people, if we check the gut microbiome, is not well balanced. Maybe because of the stress, maybe because of they don't sleep, maybe because they are anxious. But again, a gut inflammation, it's the start of a brain fog or a fatigue, tiredness, a chronic fatigue. We call this leaky gut. A leaky gut basically is like the layers are not working well. They are not well with a good structure. So things that normally go through the guts and they can go or they can pass through the, through these cells or through these layers. Now they can go because the structures of the layers are really unhealthy. Okay. A bit difficult to explain and probably a bit difficult to understand. But imagine that imagine a piece of fruit that it has a hole on the skin. So anything can go inside quite easy. And you have an apple with a crack, you have to eat it in a couple of days, otherwise it's going to get rotten. So similar concept with the guts. Plenty of layers, like the skin, plenty of layers. If that layers are not healthy, anything can go inside. And this is called leaky gut. And what happens when we have this leaky gut is just the body gets inflamed as a reaction. The immune system, it's always active. So there is not enough energy for other parts of the body. This is why we are so tired. Because the immune system is basically getting all the energy. So the brain is a bit foggy, muscles are painful and tired because, again, the immune system is draining all the energy there. So imagine that you have to feed your tiny, tiny garden, no? And apart from when you are hungry and you want to put a lot of food in your stomach to feel comfortable, just go a step farther and see if there is anything you can do for all this family of microorganisms living with you, with all these bacteria and viruses and fungi and archaea. So just double check when you eat something, if there is something that you can do to help your microbiome. And what we know that they love is anything with fiber, which is vegetables, fruits, beans, whole grains, so the brown version of the cereal, brown rice, brown bread, all these things, brown pasta, much better than the white option, just to feed your microbiome. You will feel, if you are eating too much fiber, because maybe a bit of gas there or a bit of diarrhea, so just, again, a good level or a good amount of fiber is great. Don't go to the extreme and don't eat too much, but yeah. We normally say 24, 25 grams of fiber a day is essential, is key, is fantastic for your microbiome, and it helps to decrease the cardiovascular risk as well. So fiber-rich foods, you know which ones, and also fermented foods. But healthy fermented foods, which is something like kombucha, could be kimchi, a good yogurt, a good cheese. What else we have there? Well, a lot of this fermented food type of pickles, things like that. Everything that is naturally fermented, and it's obviously that is eatable. Fermented food, plenty of good bacteria that is gonna help to replace the ones we have already in the gut and to keep a healthy balance, or things with fiber. Anything that you eat that is green, apart from fiber, has something called polyphenols, that it's a boost for the microbial diversity and resilience. Super important. We have talked about this plenty of times. Put green in your meals, if it's possible, almost every meal. A bit of carbohydrates, a bit of protein, a bit of fat, and fiber is essential, so put always something green. And on the other side of this, basically I was going to tell you that be careful with things that you shouldn't do, no? What you shouldn't eat. Now you know what you should eat. Be careful with what you shouldn't eat. And now I'm going to repeat myself, because you know this, if you have been following these programs, that what you don't want to eat is basically ultra-processed food. Why? Because it's low in fiber, one thing. Because normally it's not fermented food, two things. And because it doesn't have polyphenols, not at all. It's basically sugar. It's basically fats and healthy fats and a combination that we call is sweet fat. It's the sweet fat what makes us feel unwell and creates inflammation and destroys the microbiome. So anything from takeaways, supermarkets that are in packets, ready to eat, with a lot of ingredients that you don't understand with numbers, it's ultra processed. Okay. So if you read the labels and there are more than 2-3 ingredients, normally it's not healthy. Normally it's not healthy. So it's not going to help your microbiome. And the other part of this problem is the antibiotics. Unnecessary antibiotics. So when antibiotics are needed, obviously you have to take them. But try not to take antibiotics as soon as you feel a bit sick, because most of the times it's a virus and the antibiotic is not going to do anything. It's true that if you have a healthy microbiome, you are going to get sick probably less often. So again, it's a win-win. You take care of your microbiome, you don't get sick. If you don't get sick, you don't need antibiotics. So your body's going to be super pleased and it's going to help. It's going to thank you. So no processed food, no antibiotics, if it's possible. Because what happened when we do this? What happened when we do this? That when we take antibiotics, you are going to probably reduce about 30% of your gut species. And remember, I told you before, there are no good or bad bacteria, is that they need to be in balance. Everything in the body loves balance. And gut microbiome is not different. So if with antibiotics you kill the bad bacteria, okay, the one that is making you feel unwell, but again, you are wiping out 30% of your gut species, this is going to be super difficult to recover unless you have a really healthy diet. So unnecessary antibiotics are all not recommended. And sometimes we fight with patients saying, please wait a day more or 2 days more and see if eventually the antibiotic is needed. Not because we don't want you to take them. It's because we are thinking of the whole picture and a long term. If you take antibiotics every month or every 2 months, you're cleaning, reducing, destroying the microbiome too often. Similar happened with chronic stress, and it's even probably more difficult to control. With chronic stress, apart from having all these issues that we know, that more anxiety, low mood, is going to destroy, it's going to clean the your guts, and the microbiome is going to probably be in what we call an unhealthy imbalance. And again, probably leaky gut, inflammation, and problems in the future. And with poor sleep, similar problem. But, you know, chronic stress and poor sleep are always connected. Poor sleep is linked with higher level of harmful bacteria and increased gut inflammation. Today is not about sleep, but as we talk every day about the six pillars, and it's impossible to talk about one and not to talk about the other one. Okay? If we talk about stress and we don't talk about sleep, it's almost impossible because they are connected. So the microbiome normally follows a circadian rhythm. And when we don't sleep during the night and we are tired during the day, it makes difficult for the body to heal or repair whatever is wrong in the guts in this case, or related to the microbiome. So remember that we need the night to fix mechanical muscle issues and to fix brain problems. So if we don't have these hours, it's impossible for your body to just fix, or at least to know what's wrong to try to replace it. So essential to sleep, to have a healthy microbiome. And to have a good sleep, you need a healthy microbiome too. So it's like a cycle. You can start in the point that you prefer. With a healthy microbiome, less stress, you will sleep better. If you sleep better, better microbiome, just for the fact that you are sleeping well. You will make probably better decisions. It's quite common when you don't, or when we don't sleep, that we feel that we need something to deal with this sensation. And normally the decisions we make are worse. So we eat something that we don't normally eat just because our brain is not thinking right. And sometimes we make mistakes that if we have a better sleep, probably I wouldn't have. And one of the questions I normally get regarding this topic is if we should test, no, the microbiome. Because if it's so important and we are so worried about having a really good and healthy microbiome, why don't we test it, no, more frequently? And the answer is because we are still like halfway of understanding how they really work, even though we have a lot of information already. And because when we check when we do a test to check the microbiome, we are getting a picture of that moment, not the film. We don't see like 2-3 hour film. We would just see a picture, like a photogram. And this make us or give us information about that moment, that exact moment that we get the sample of the feces. But we don't really know what happened 2 hours before or what's going to happen 2 hours later. This is why it's a bit tricky. And it's a very expensive test. So sometimes I have to order it, and I ordered it in the past, even though it's expensive for the patient, because the situation is very dangerous for this patient or that patient in particular. So we need more information. Even though it's just a picture, sometimes the picture can give you an idea of the situation. It's ideal? No. It gives us information sometimes, only when the situation is dangerous, or when we don't have any other option. So my honest answer is don't get tests, because again, you don't really get the whole picture of the situation and it's very expensive. But if your doctor in the future asks you about this or tells you, I think we need a sample of your feces to test your microbiome, is because probably the situation is getting worse, and yeah, the information we'll get is going to be important. Okay. So how, if you are thinking of how I'm going to improve my microbiome, what can I do in my normal life, not to make my microbiome happier? Okay. Remember that I told you before, now every time you eat, think about them. They are there. They are not noisy, but they live with you. So don't think anymore that you are alone, because there are trillions of microorganisms living with you. So they deserve a little bit of love. So every time you eat something, every time you're going to do or put something in your body that you know that is toxic, just remember that they are there as well. Okay? Try to help them. But there are like 7 things I'm going to recommend today to do. And one is basically eat a lot of plants, eat a lot of green every week. If you can, every meal. Could be spices, nuts, seeds, fruits, vegetables, legumes, grains, like a lot of variety. You will see, well, this is interesting, at least for me, that the microbiome changes a lot. It depends on the season, or it used to change a lot. Now we have almost the same food the whole year. But years ago that we have better, like 4 seasons, clear seasons, the gut microbiome used to change a lot. It depends on the season. You have like more bacteria of this type because they are better for the summer, and more bacteria for another family of bacteria because they are a bit better for winter to protect against the flu or colds or any type of infection. But now, as we are eating more or less the same, probably the gut microbiome doesn't change much. But try to eat herbs and spices and nuts that are more seasonal, okay, to keep its balance. And again, if eat enough fiber, 25 grams a day normally is the recommended dose. 30 grams, perfect. You need to eat green stuff to get the fiber. If you're having a bit of gut issues with a bit of gas or diarrhea, check if the amount of fiber is too much. But normally in a healthy gut, 30 grams is perfect. 25, 30 grams is great. If your guts are a bit sensitive, start with a lower dose, but just introduce more fiber slowly. Move every day, at least 30 minutes. Move every day. And if you can do something more intense, even though it's just 5 minutes, perfect. Like increasing your heart rate, it will help your microbiome to increase the diversity with movement. Sleep well, again, manage the stress, at least 7 hours a day. Deep breathing, mindfulness, take care of your vagus nerve. If it's not needed, don't take antibiotics. Please just ask your doctor if they are needed. So don't self-treat yourself if it's possible. If you have children and they are sick all the time and they need antibiotics all the time, even more important to take care of the gut microbiome with healthy food, with a bit of exercise, with resting, probably with less screen time, so all the things that you know. And something that sometimes is difficult because we are busy, but spending time in nature helps to improve and increase microbial diversity. So being in contact with plants, with fresh air, with soil helps to keep this microbiome healthy. Probably you know this, but well, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you. There is a Japanese treatment that we don't normally use here, that before treating somebody with antidepressants or something for the stress, they prescribe time in the garden or time in the forest, like 30 minutes a day. So your treatment is going to be 30 minutes a day in the forest, walking through a green area, fresh air, just connection with nature. And if this doesn't work, then we'll talk about antidepressants. So let's see how this, how important this is. It's not just a silly thing that we say. It's just, it's medicine. It works, and it works sometimes better than any chemical product. So gardening or walking in the park expose you to beneficial microbiomes, like we find in soil, in plant, in fresh air. So again, super important. If you can do the exercise outside and surrounded by trees and plants, even better. Or if you like meditation and you can do it outside with this green environment, even better. You get more benefits. So as a last advice, just to summarize this, you should be thanks to your microbiome, because they do a lot of things every day. Like in backstage, they are working 24 hours while you are probably resting or doing your thing. So there are these trillions of microorganisms are there working, helping you, fermenting the fiber that you eat, creating new vitamins, training the immune self and connecting the organs we have in the abdomen with the brain that's checking that everything is under control, that everything works well. So remember, it's not complicated. If you have like a healthy lifestyle, it's not complicated. It's just to do a tiny effort every time you eat something, that you put something green, a bit of fiber, something to help these microbiomes. And when you eat, again, try to eat in a way that you are not running under stress, doing two things at the same time. So just be focused on your food. And if you can do it, just share it with more people. Connect with more people. And even if it's perfect, just go outside and have your lunch, your dinner outside with a bit of natural life. And if there is a green area close to your place, just go there with people or just alone, but go there. So you have all the benefits all together. So your microbiome will thank you a lot if you can do just this. Now that we are facing summer, it's gonna be easier. No? It's gonna be probably not so complicated, because I know that with all these raining days, you don't feel like going to the maybe to the park. But now that we're gonna have better days, maybe no lunch if it's too warm and there is no, you can go under the trees, but breakfast, dinner, something like this, just going out and get all the benefits from being outside with people and with something green in your meals. You know that I always tell you the same, we are not looking for perfection. So there is time for everything. You have time to enjoy, have to eat things that are not green, things without fiber, perfect. That everything is a balance, even your microbiome. Everything needs to be in balance. So we normally say 80% of the time do things more or less right. Right means what I told you. 20% of the time just do whatever you want. Enjoy a piece of cake. Enjoy a cookie, a biscuit, a takeaway, something like this. Obviously, a glass of wine. I'm not telling you don't drink anything, don't do anything like this. It's just think in the long term, in the whole picture, not just in short. Okay, so I hope you learned something today. This is a very complex topic, but I love this topic because it's going to change the way we treat patients in the future. Every day we get new documents, new articles about things that the microbiome is able to do. So I'm pretty sure that maybe in 5-10 years, when you go and see your doctor, microbiome will be something that you will discuss with your doctor. How to improve it, which part of your microbiome probably is not working well, if it's the microbiome you have on the skin or in your gut or in any other part of your body. So remember this concept because we are going to talk about this in the future. So enjoy the rest of the week. Have a lovely afternoon and we'll see you next week with more eudaimonia.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. Check ignition and may God's love be with you. Different today. For here